This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast for today. We're talking about home environments and how to keep them safe and clean and how to detect potential health hazards with Caroline Blazowski. She's a National Healthy Home expert, and she's been a guest here on Intelligent Medicine in the past. She's always a very valuable contributor, and she's continually staying abreast of the science because the science is advancing in terms of our understanding of what exposures to home hazards can do to our health. We're looking now not just at mold, but a wide array of potential health liabilities when we assess the home. She is an interesting title. She's a certified mold remediator. She's a certified indoor environmentalist and a healthy home specialist. And you can find out more about the services that are offered by her company. She's the president and founder of My Healthy Home at www.healthyhomeexpert.com. You used to have a website, was myhealthyhome.info. Is that still active?
And we have that. That's still active, and that's our company website. So when people want to get information about our company, they can go there, or they can go to healthyhomeexpert.com. Either one.
Great. Okay, so a big concern, you know, when you buy a house, you don't know what you're getting into. And, you know, I've been in the process of buying houses, and I've had some of the best experts go over, you know, the engineering and, you know, all the various systems in the house. And unfortunately, there are often pitfalls. They're unanticipated hazards. So if you're buying a home, is it a good idea to undertake one of these workups? What are some of the things that you need to look out for?
And I'm in the process of buying a home, and you can imagine how challenging it is for me.
Yeah. Oh, because you have some very high standards. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing because, you know, you're pretty aware of the potential problems, and, you know, you're not oblivious to what can happen.
And unfortunately, the downside is now, you know, especially in the tri-state area where we're located, but this is the same in other parts of the country, too, where land is particularly expensive. You have to be very careful about what they're using to build the homes with. And the products have gotten cheaper. The more we've gone to engineered lumber or manufactured lumber, you increase the risk of glues, resins, formaldehyde, all of these things. And also, when they're more engineered, they don't hold up as well with moisture infiltration. Mm-hmm. So when these products are on water, they don't do as well as a natural substance, like a tree. Natural wood can absorb a percentage of moisture and then release it back into the environment. Same with concrete, brick, stone. But when you start getting these products wet that are engineered, they don't do well, and they're more susceptible to mold, and then, of course, degrading and breaking down and releasing, you know, a lot of chemical compounds into the environment.
Mm-hmm. I think they had a recent scandal about drywall material that was imported from China, and it was outgassing all kinds of nasty stuff, and now they're having to rip it out. It's a huge problem. And then, of course, there's the lumber liquidator problem where they relied upon statistics that were provided to them by their Chinese suppliers. They didn't properly vet their supply chain, and all kinds of nasty stuff, formaldehyde, et cetera, was being released by the flooring.
Absolutely, and that was a big problem, and we started, you know, we were testing for formaldehyde for 17 years, but people became really interested in it because it brought it to the forefront of concern that a lot of people had put engineered flooring in. And it's really important to know where your product's coming from. Try to stick to traditional, you know, flooring, real product. Try to stay away from the engineered stuff as much as you can. Or if you're going to get it, know where it's coming from. That's the first thing. But buying a house goes back to, you know, mold testing is number one in my book. To water testing, because these are things you can't change, and when you do have a problem, they could really impact your health and then also be expensive on the remediation side. And then try to obviously get your disclosure, but, you know, don't be hesitant to ask questions. We did an article for the National Realtors Association, and it was about, you know, how do I know what my kitchen or bathrooms were built with? You got to ask the homeowners. And we're trying to encourage people to really pay attention to the products they're using and keep a avid diary of, you know, what you used, because when you're buying a house, people want to know and deserve to know before they purchase it.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually a useful tip for home sellers, is if you can document your use of the right kind of green products, that can become a selling point when a purchaser comes around. You can reassure them with proper documentation. Otherwise, you can say, you know, who knows? Who knows what they put into this house, right?
Yeah, I have a box where whatever we do goes into this box. And then the lucky homeowner or whoever owns my house after me can, you know, sort through it. But, yeah, you want to know the roofing, you know, not everything. I understand it's hard to do, but get in the habit of knowing, you know, where your products are coming from and what was used. Because not all products are the same. And unfortunately, homeowners deserve the right, if you're spending, you know, quite a substantial piece of coin on a home, you need to know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So mold testing, water testing, really know the products. If there were renovations done, you know, what was used? Did they use OSB board? Did they use real plywood? Those are important things. A lot of these houses, you know, have used a lot of engineered lumber, and it becomes problematic, especially with our global, we've got a weather pattern system that has been substantially changing, you know, whether you want to acknowledge global warming or not. The fact is, at 17 years of doing business, we see a change in weather pattern. We see these influx of low temperatures to high temperatures, which create relative humidity, cause our basements to sweat more. Our homes weren't designed to handle these types of storm damage, excessive storms, downpours of rain. So it's really creating problems in our homes, and then we're getting more problems that we weren't, you know, used to having in the past.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're particularly conscious about application of herbicides and pesticides around our home because we've had visitors to the home who are pregnant. And that's a big concern. You know, it's like you walk on, or sometimes little kids, you know, little kids walking barefoot on your grass and they may absorb the toxins. Or sometimes people use pest strips. You know, they want to keep bugs out of the house. This is actually something you test for as well, correct?
Yeah, we look. I do a lot of pesticide. I actually refer out when I'm going to do specific types of POPs, which we talked about, which are persistent organic pollutants. Those are things that stay around for a long duration of time. But what going back to the water, just for example, when people are using these products, I really try to explain that especially fertilizers go into the water supply, and they can affect your nitrates. And people say, well, my nitrates in my water are below the national standard.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that, according to the World Health Organization, once we start to get to 6 parts per million, we really can see an increase in blue baby syndrome, like you're talking about prostate cancer, bladder cancer. So it's real important when you're putting these things on your lawn to realize, hey, they can end up in my water supply. And I know this for a fact because on my own property, when I had purchased the house, I find this interesting. The nitrates were, I think they were about 5 parts per million. And then we moved in. It was about 5 years. We used no fertilizer. We don't store chemicals on the property. We started to see the return of toads. And I bring this up because I've never seen toads in any property that I ever had. And I said, why?
Toads. As in like croaking toads. Yeah.
Croaking toads.
Yeah.
And I mean, they just kept coming and coming, and they're outside. And I said, why? Look, what is with these toads? And then I looked them up, and toads can only come when the environment is pristine. They breathe through their skin.
Oh.
So the minute they're exposed to pesticide or any type of toxin, they die.
Okay. So it's a good
you
thing.
Know your property is healthy, right, when you get toads.
Mm-hmm.
So the toads started coming, and I said, well, this is good. I guess it's because I'm not using, you know, all this synthetic stuff on the lawn, and I don't use these things. And then we tested our nitrates in our water, and I recommend to my clients, you want to do testing for something every year, whether it's mold, VOCs, radon, water, just to keep, stay up on your house, make sure that everything is healthy, and you don't overwhelm yourself. You don't have to go nuts. You don't have to do all testing at once. I mean, some people do, but just one time a year, pick something, just put it in your calendar. I'm going to do this in January, and I'm going to do, you know, whatever else I have to do after that. So I do my water about every 3 years, and I tested the nitrates, and the nitrates substantially went down from 5 parts per million down to 3 parts per million, which is a significant increase.
And this is, you tested the water supply to the house, or you took water samples from around standing water?
I took it from our, well, we have a well, so okay. I took it from the well.
Mm-hmm. So you do water testing as well. You can people can submit a water sample to My Healthy Home or to HealthyHomeExpert.com.
Yeah, we do all types of water testing. Everything pertaining to the home, we pretty much cover. Except, you know, radon tests and things like that, I'll usually refer out just because you can get a standardized radon test almost anywhere, and they're good. You know, they're accurate. So I'll have clients run that while I'm doing other things.
So
but
what,
water is really important to test for.
So what's the process when you discover something, you know, like there's a lot of mold or there's a source of contamination in the home? Then you make a referral to someone who comes in and remediates that?
I mean, sometimes it's remediation, sometimes it's removal. It depends what, you know, when the volatiles are high, I'll give them a list of basically a breakdown. Look, I want to take this out, this out, this out, this out. We know specifically if you're exposed to gasoline, if you're exposed to toluene, you know, naphthalene, all these things, we see a specific breakdown in their sample. So we say, remove this, remove this, remove this, and then retest, and we'll see where you're at, and we want you to be under a certain percentage.
Right.
If they have specific things like POPs, pesticides, dander counts that are off the charts, duct cleaning. I mean, there's certain things, then there's a protocol for it. So it just depends what's there and if it's an acceptable level or not and what we need to remediate and what their symptoms are. Like, you'll send a patient and they may be getting headaches, and then we're looking for different solutions to help reduce those that inflammation.
Mm-hmm. And when,
so it just depends.
So do you have do you yourself or someone on your staff, say a physician is concerned that there may be an environmental problem but doesn't know where to start with the testing? I mean, like, you could do a whole panoply of tests and just maybe describe the clinical problem. And you might say, well, first, why don't we start with such and such? If there's a health issue, say a person with asthma or, say, a person who suffers from autoimmune disease or any, you know, health concern.
Exactly. So we usually have a protocol, and then if that patient, you know, most of the patients confide in us and say, look, my doctor sent me, you know, these are the symptoms I'm having. And, you know, when we start with things like sinusitis, headaches, a lot of respiratory, eye irritation, stuff like that will point us in an allergen panel. We'll start with the mold and allergen, and especially depending on if they have a finished basement or some, you know, protocol questions that we'll ask them. Mm-hmm. Other people will say, you know, my house is newly built, I really don't have a mold problem. And I said, then we're going to look at volatile organic. So certain things will pinpoint me, like when you and I were just talking about the mold in the room over the garage. Mm-hmm. Well, I hear two things when you tell me that. I hear mold, that there was a water intrusion, but then I also hear garage, which triggers VOCs. So after 17 years of doing this, I get pretty good at kind of going in the direction as to where I think the patient needs the focus.
Okay, and I'll share, you know, one notable case study with you is that I had a patient who is very allergic, and I did him a lot of good because he was on an indiscriminate diet, looked terrible, was exhausted, very, very run down, and we cleaned up his diet. We discovered he had a gluten intolerance, and he's intolerant to several foods, and we gave him supplements, and he did great. I mean, he not only did he, you know, did his energy return, but he became a major bodybuilder. He's like a champion at, you know, I think the guy's 70-something now, so he's just an Adonis. He looks fabulous. But he started to develop allergy symptoms again. And I said, well, you know, that's what happens when you fall off the diet. He says, Doc, I haven't fallen off the diet. I'm adhering to the diet even more carefully because I thought maybe something was slipping into my diet. I said, well, you know, you stopped taking your supplements. And he says, no, I've been faithfully taking my supplements. So I said, you know, maybe we should check. Has anything changed in your home? Have you remodeled? Have you done? Oh, no, I haven't really. Has there been a flood? No, there hasn't been a flood. So I said, look, let's get some, let's go to, you know, myhealthyhome.info or healthyhomeexpert.com. And let's get some kits, and we'll put them around, and we'll see if there's anything that comes up. And what came up was a startlingly high level of mold in a place where he didn't think there was a problem. But he's a little bit of a wonky engineer type, and he discovered that he was using a humidifier. There was a built-in humidifier. So what it was doing, I mean, the humidity's got to go somewhere when you suck it out of the air. And what it was doing, it was creating moisture in a hidden cabinet where he kept his humidifier. And that was the source of the problem, and it was dispersing mold all through his house. And so he fixed that up, and his symptoms abated. So that's a, you know, really great example of what this type of detective work can yield And he's a happy camper. I mean, we thought we were going to put him on asthma medication. No, it turned out to be a hidden source of mold contamination.
Well, and bring up the relative humidity, I like to give people tips that they can do that, you know, this is just going to help you regardless. And monitoring your relative humidity. You want to go to, you know, a hardware store, doesn't matter where you go, pick up a little humidistat that has temperature and relative humidity. Don't spend a lot of money, like 10 bucks, that's it. And you put that in the lowest level of your house. So that would be, you know, basement, or if you live on a slab, it'll be your slab. And you put it there. And then you watch it. And you want to keep it, your relative humidity in the house between 30 and 50%. Mm-hmm. You can go a little above 50 on some days, but you don't want to go substantially above it. And you don't want to go lower, though in winter you will. You'll be in the 20s. That's okay.
Yeah.
But if you go too low, then the nasal passages dry out and you're more prone to getting viruses and colds. If you go too high, then what happens is you get mold. You get dust mites, you get bugs in your home. And this is like a key tip to keeping a healthy home. It's so simple and people just don't do it. Get this little humidistat, put it down, look at the relative humidity, stay between 30 and 50%. If you're going above continuously, you want to get a dehumidifier and start bringing that humidity down. You can also add heat to the space. So if you, believe it or not, people, it's a misconception, but if you add heat, your relative humidity drops. So if your temperature goes up, your relative humidity goes down. But if your temperature goes down, your relative humidity goes up. That's why basements typically have problems, because they're colder. They're about 60 degrees. They hold a lot of moisture in the air. And that's why you get mold. So 30 to 50%, keep it there. You'll keep dust mites at bay. You'll keep bugs at bay. You'll keep mold at bay, because they all thrive on this relative humidity and moisture. So you're cutting off a food source, which can really help your home just stay healthier in general.
So you're not the biggest fan of humidifiers because they increase the humidity. To the point where it can trigger problems.
Yeah, I mean, that's one. I mean, like, slight use of them is okay, but the problem is a lot of people don't get cleaned properly, especially on furnaces when they're built in.
Mm-hmm.
They're prone to, I mean, you can get Legionella, but they're also prone to other bacteria buildup, and people are known to get more chronic sinus infections with them. And then also, the fact is when you start raising that relative humidity, you start to, you know, bring these creatures and bugs and things that you don't want. So if you do have to add moisture and you're dry, like in the winter, try doing a pot of water. You can put plants in. Plants add just the perfect relative humidity back in. And you can use one temporarily, but make sure it has UV light on it so you're not creating bacteria. I like ones that, you know, have a UV light application built in.
Hmm, good idea. So what about central air and central heat? Because you got all this ductwork, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Is that a source of trouble sometimes?
The client we just did this morning, she was having, she has colitis or Crohn's, I can't remember, but mm-hmm. she was having an influx of symptoms. And then on top of it, her child was becoming severely asthmatic, and we did her allergen panel. Dander counts came back high. She's like, look, I look around, my house looks clean. I said, well, we're going to send the duct cleaning company. And not all duct cleaning companies are right. If people need a recommendation, they should call it.
You have to be careful, because sometimes they use harmful chemicals to clean out the ducts, and then you get, you know, replace one problem with another.
Right. And you want to get a really good qualified NACA certified duct cleaner. They come with big fire trucks. They look like a huge fire truck that pulls up, and they do 15,000 CFM of air that they're blowing through these things. And it works to get rid of the protein, the dust mites, you know, anything that's in there. But I should show you the picture. They just sent it to me. They were out there. Her ducts were filled. We just put it on our Facebook and, you know, social media. They were filled with dust like you wouldn't believe. And no leaks, no moisture. Nothing was contributing condensation-wise or mold, but just packed, filled with these, you know, all kinds of dust spray. So now we've got her all cleaned out, and I think it's going to be really good. So they have to stay on top of your duct work if you have it. Definitely. Mm-hmm. It gets with all kinds of stuff.
As an afterthought, you know, I just thought of another potential problem area. We don't think of it. I mean, it's an extension of our home, but it's not our home proper, is our cars. Cars that sit outside, the air conditioning systems can be infiltrated with mold. I recall, you know, I don't have asthma. I have some degree of allergic sinusitis, allergic rhinitis, a little bit of hay fever. But I never had an asthma attack until I jumped into an old Volvo. A friend of mine kept it garaged outside in Connecticut. And she closed the window, put on the air conditioner, and all of a sudden, I was wheezing. Mold in the air conditioning system of cars. Is that something that you can test for and detect?
Yep, and then also with the new cars. I mean, look, there's no volatile standard for all the new chemical compounds. Mm-hmm.
So that's a so-called good new car smell. People like that. People buy stuff to they sometimes put the new car smell into used cars to make people feel better about it.
I really would like to test cars when I get around to it in my free time. I'd love to actually just do a couple samples of VOCs in cars to see what the level is. I think it would be surprisingly shocking. And toxic, probably. But yes, you've got to keep an eye. If you have an in car filter too, like an in-cabin filter, you want to change that regularly because some of these are, you have them built in. I have one in mine. And then you want to, make sure that, if you smell any mold or anything going on with your ductwork in your car, you definitely need to get it checked. It's the same thing. You shouldn't be breathing that in. Absolutely not.
I guess you're not too big a fan of indoor carpeting from a couple of standpoints.
I go both ways because I think if you're elderly, you've got to be really careful when you start to have hardwood and tile and things like that because it
slippery.
Becomes a hazard. So, if you're working out on those surfaces, it's not good either just for your joints. So I like to say have a couple rooms of carpeting. I'm fine with that. But you want to make sure the carpeting's up to date. When you put it in, go with like a nylon carpet with a lighter color. The darker dyes tend to linger smell and chemicals a lot longer. And you need to HEPA vacuum frequently. And that's the same for anybody who's got, houses. You've got to be HEPA vacuuming. And my rule of thumb, this is easy. However many people you have in the house, pets count as people too, that's how many times a week you have to vacuum. So it's really simple. Two people in the house, you need to vacuum two times a week. You've got three people, four people, five people. That helps keep all the dander and the skin cells because you and I, we shed dander just like pets do. We just blame them, but we're shedding stuff all over too. So
vacuum. Is a HEPA vacuum per se? I mean, I see sometimes some weasel words about, that it's a clean, green product, but is there such a thing as a HEPA-certified vacuum that stands apart from standard vacuum cleaners?
It's more so how the motor is designed and the capture system. So you want a self-contained capture system. Like I have a Miele vacuum, and basically when the bag clicks up, there's a seal. So it allows, when you open up to change your bag, you shouldn't see all this debris flying around.
Right, canister. That doesn't help, does it? Right.
It should be trapped in the bag.
Yeah.
So that's how a lot of better systems work. They're designed to basically, capture the dust and not release it back into the air. That's what you need to look for. Vacuums are worth their weight in gold. I mean, when you buy an expensive vacuum, typically, they're doing what they're supposed to do. So they're working appropriately. They've got the sealed system. They also have HEPA filtration. They may have some carbon filtration. And the amount of suction that they have is really important, too, because a lot of vacuums don't equally suck up the debris. So you want a system that works well. But you need to research them. And I like Miele. That's what I use. They also have a canister one, which I like for my allergy, people who suffer with allergy clients. So when you vacuum up, right, you put all this stuff into a bag, and then the bag sits in the corner of the room. Well, if you're allergic to cat, it doesn't matter whether it's dispersed in your environment or it's captured in a bag. You'll still have a reaction to it because it's in the environment. Miele makes a system where a cap goes onto the canister, so it completely seals the canister. Like you don't have any opening where the stuff can get out in the environment as it sits in the bag,
okay,
which is good.
I guess I should look into one of those. All right, so these are wonderful tips, and, our Intelligent Medicine call to action for today. First of all, people should avail themselves of some of the free resources that you provide on your website. Where can they get more information?
Yeah, definitely go to our media page. We've got tons of podcasts like this, radio, articles, anything that people can get their hands on. A lot of these tips you can just do yourself, and it'll make a big improvement in your wellness and your environment. So healthyhomeexpert.com, go to our media page, and then obviously if you want to get your house tested or you want information, do consultations, then they can obviously call us or work with our physicians like you who send patients to us all the time.
Great, great. And so in addition, what's the process for, people don't just simply go online and order kits, or you can, I guess, but you have a service whereby people can call you up and have a bit of a consultation to determine which of your testing services is most appropriate for them, correct?
And we usually do the free consultation, and we just talk to the person, get assess some information about them, and then we decide, okay, look, this would be our protocol for you and what we think would be most beneficial. Some people have symptoms and they want improvement. Some people just want to test their home, make sure their home is environment, young children, elderly, people are health conscious. So, just call and then say what you need or what you're concerned about, and then we usually work to address it.
Mm-hmm. And what's the phone number, or can they just?
Oh, sure. So they can call. 866-743-8563. That's our toll-free number, and we cater to clients internationally, nationally, wherever you are. You can test your home and use our services. We send you what you need, and you'll take some air samples, and that'll go to our lab. And then they come back, and, you know, we have all the information. So a lot of these things we can't see on a visual inspection anyway, so we need to do the testing to kind of ascertain what's going on.
And one final thing is for non-home applications, for schools, for businesses, do you consult on that level as well?
We do. I mean, our primary focus is residential.
The consumer, yeah.
But we do get people who, you know, want to focus. I had a woman test the other day. She said, I want to test my home and my office. She goes, I think it's my office making me sick, but it was really our home. So we do both. You can do it, but primarily our focus is all home-related.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Well, hey, you're a wealth of information on this important subject, and I think people should really be aware of this dimension of their health, because it's not all about what you eat, your exercise, the supplements you take. There's more to it when it comes to your health portfolio, and if your environment is undermining your health, you need to find out about it and remediate it. So this is an important dimension. www.healthyhomeexpert.com. is the place to check it out. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm probably going to be asking for another test kit approach our summer season and spend more time in the house, because I want to get it right and not make my guests sick by sticking them in the garage bedroom.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.